any bites then on what restraint you guys would like used? Guys, let me tell you, I'm 59 years old. I will be 60 years old this year, and I started 14 years ago. I was in my mid-40s when I started this. Am I going to be able to be a resident in a nursing home and not be restrained? This has become a very personal kind of thing for me. Okay? It truly has. And it needs to for you, unless you can live more than 140 years. What is our problem? I guess what bothers me about this, we have the ability to take out somebody's heart and put in a new one, and while they're recuperating, we use a technique, okay, that was used 140 years ago. Now, if we put our minds to it, we can do it. We've got to put our minds to it. You guys mentioned enablers, and I really want to look at those. I've mentioned them several times. Please stop using that word, unless you really mean it. What does an enabler do by definition? It helps you do whatever it is you wanted to do. So when you have somebody who is getting out of bed and falling, then am I correct in assuming you want them to get out faster? When you put the half-length side rail up and you called it an enabler, that's what you're telling me. You want them to get out faster. That doesn't sound to me like you care much about them, because you know darn well they've got no strength in their lower limbs, and when they stand on the stand, they will fall. Okay. Someone asked me during the break what I thought about them things. Oh, it's not there. Them things, you know? I think they're a symptom of our industry. Now that we have, how much do you suppose that smart bed's going to cost? I bet we can drop at least $12,000, $15,000 on that one, don't you think so? Alrighty. We keep thinking if we spend money, it's going to make it better. Okay. So we got them little thingy-majiggies, them little thingies. They're wonderful if the person needs them, okay? If the person needs them and knows how to function with them. Let's do the rest of my side rail stuff right now. The problem with all 25 of those people that died in Ohio and Michigan, every one of them died in a half-length side rail. Every single one. Because they're very dangerous. What happens is the side rail's here and I slip and catch my head as I go down. Okay? Why do we use side rails? We use side rails for two reasons, I think, and I think we don't know what we're using them for, and that's where we're getting in trouble. We're using side rails for two reasons. One, getter-uppers. And secondly, roller-outers. Okay? Let's take the roller-outers first. They're your smallest percentage. They're probably less than 5% of the people that you care for are literally roller-outers. And by that I mean somebody who will roll over and just keep rolling and just keep rolling and just keep rolling until they land on the floor. Okay? How many of those do you have? I mean, they roll, you know how they do. Let's turn this off for a second here. You know how they do. They roll off the bed. Let's put a bed right over here. They roll off the bed. This is the wrong marker for that thing. And then they roll down the hall and over the stairway. And right, and you found them going down the steps, didn't you? Yeah, those are the roller outers. A roller outer is someone who has lost their ability to find the edge of the bed. So what test are you guys currently using? What assessment are you using to decide? Is this someone who knows where the edge of the bed is? You see, because if you don't know that that's what their problem is, then there's a lot of interventions that are only for this person. Only for this person. Okay? And they're very dangerous for someone else. Tell me the most dangerous intervention for a roller outer. It's great for a roller outer. It's real dangerous for a getter upper. The low bed. When you take a bed to a floor, what skill does a person have to have? How to get up off the floor. So, are there any therapists in here? Okay, therapists, tell me, in your facilities, you can both answer simultaneously. In your facilities, what days of the week do we have how to fall down classes going on? I mean, we would do that, wouldn't we? With the mildly demented, it gets a little tough as they get more demented, but actually you can teach people how to fall. Okay, why aren't we teaching people how to fall? Why aren't we teaching people how to fall? Because they don't fall down in your place? Okay? Let's ask them another question. What days of the week do you guys have the how to get up off the floor classes going? Is that right? The same time as the other one? Yeah, I thought so. Why not? Why aren't we teaching people how to get up off the floor? Particularly those people that you've taken to the floor and they're a getter-upper. They're not a roller-outer. You do teach people to get up off the floor, and who is it? The staff? Who else? How about residents that are going home? You guys, PTs or OTs? Yeah, when somebody's going to go home, they teach them how to get up off the floor so they can be independent at home, right? Why aren't we teaching that for people that live with us? Because if they could get up, then we wouldn't have to do any of the documentation. I think she left. She didn't hear me. Okay. Yeah. All right. It doesn't make any sense. I learned this the hard way. I learned everything the hard way. Back in the early 90s, when we were first starting this restraint freedom thing, we put everybody on the floor. Oh, crying out loud. Wrong intervention, but we used it for everybody. Until the day that we had the fellow we put on the floor, and he wasn't a roller-outer, he was a getter-upper. So he got up, crawled over to the dresser, crawled up the dresser. He was doing pretty good until he lost his footing and put his eye out on the corner of the dresser. Thank you very much. That's because of me. Not me, but us. Okay? We had the wrong intervention. So how do you know? How do you know if they know the edge of the bed? So let's say they don't. It's one of the 5%. They do not know where the edge of the bed is. Tell me some interventions that make more sense than putting up some pieces of metal or PVC that they can bonk their head into. Okay? We got low bed, which works for the roller outer. Right? What color else do we want to put in place? Don't overthink this thing. I want you to think like home health people. A mat on the floor. Now let's do this. Where am I putting this mat? Next to the bed. How low is the bed? How high, is this how high the bed is? Where should the mat go then? Yeah, right here. So I can go boop, boop, boop. It's kind of like Winnie the Pooh. Okay? This, I must speak, I hate mats. I hate mats with a passion, and let me see if I can help you guys. Hate mats too. Yeah, let's hate mats right now. You're all surveyors. Listen to the story. This resident goes all over the facility in her wheelchair. She's pretty active, does a lot of stuff. But about 2 weeks ago, she was going around her wheelchair and she got very tired. So she crawled in the first bed she saw. Unfortunately, there was a resident in it that knocked her on the floor. Okay. So you got the facts of the case. Because I'm going to ask you a question later on that's going to hook back to that. She was going around the facility because she was tired. She got into a bed that had somebody in it. They knocked her on the floor, and she had a fall. Okay? Another story about that lady. She went like this. Hey, 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 you, come. Hey, 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 hey. Got that? Got those two pieces? Okay, very good. So I went, and you guys are surveyors. I'm coming with me, and I said, let's go. What are you guys using for an intervention? Well, they said, we got an intervention right there in the room. We got a mat. I said, okay. So I said, well, take me there. So we walk into the room, and I got housekeeping. I got activities. I got nursing assistants. Nurses were too busy being professional. They couldn't come with me. But here is the little lady in her bed. Okay? She's short. She's got a bedside stand right there, and she's got a mat right here. Okay? Now, you guys are surveyors. Come with me, and I said to them, now tell me again what your intervention is. Well, they said she fell out of bed, so we got a mat here. I said, she fell out of this bed? Oh, no, 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 she didn't fall out of this bed. I said, what bed she fell out of? Well, she fell out of the bed down there. I said, well, does she carry this mat then on her back? So no matter where she is, she'll have that mat to just fall right on it? And the nursing assistants, who really know the most in our facility, said, you know what? I don't like it because she can't stand on it very well. When she gets up, she teeter-totters all over the place. Guys, look at it from nothing more than a workers' comp claim. Mats are very hard to walk on, okay, for us, let alone the poor little resident. Alrighty? So here she is, teeter-tottering all over the place. And I said, all right. I said, let's pretend for a second that your intervention makes sense. Does she ever roll out of bed? No. I said, but let's pretend that she might. Let's pretend she's going to roll out of bed. What's going to happen to her? Going to hit her head in the bedside stand. Do you really think this facility gives a darn about this lady? And they truly did, but it wasn't coming through, okay? It wasn't coming through at all. Alrighty? So, the mat made absolutely no sense. By the way, the difference between her bed was about this actual real time, this is like one of those things, was probably down here before she hit the mat. She had a good foot, foot and a half to fall before she hit the mat, okay? Makes no sense at all. It was at a regular height up here. Alrighty, this doesn't help. So you guys are smart now. We've been babbling for quite a while here. Tell me an intervention that you would put in place with nothing more, no more information than you already have about her, that you could take to the Supreme Court. When she calls you, find out what she wants. But nope. Put her on a nap schedule. Put her on. Are you with me? Your assessment says she got tired, crawled into someone else's bed. So we've got to do a sleep study to see, not a study, but a sleep assessment to figure out when she's tired. Will a sleep schedule take her to, give her some ice cream, that's something else we learned about her, give her some ice cream, take her to the bathroom and put her to bed at 1:15 and get her back up at 1:45, will it work 100% of the time to keep falls from occurring? It's going to be better than this though, isn't it? Okay, that's where you're going for. Do not try to go to 100%. I don't know how to get to 100%. We're human beings. Alrighty? So yeah, second issue, hang on to your, what you're calling, because we want to use that in a second. Alrighty? It makes no sense. The second issue goes like this. Her call light here, 92 feet of it. I couldn't even find her. This little voice is in there going, hey you, I can't find her. Okay? Let's think about this. In your facility, when someone activates the call light, does it make this much noise for them to hear? That's what I just said. It makes this much noise for them. Can anyone here tell me why the heck we give demented folks a piece of equipment that if they remembered how to use it, as far as they know, it is broken? You want to talk about falls? Stop this foolishness with this call light. One of the biggest ways surveyors, I mean, I know this, I'm not even talking to this lady. One of the biggest things that surveyors get us on is some MDS nurse who was using some standardized care plan that said, keep call light within reach. And we're living with it, and it's a demented person who has no more idea how to use it than the man in the moon. Okay? And the aide hasn't put it on. And people say, well, the surveyor's really stupid. Surveyor's stupid. That's somebody who couldn't use it. Who was stupid first? Who put it in their care plan? Surveyor's job is to say, you said it was the right intervention, you're not using it. But let's go on with this, because this is a big deal for me. And again, I learned by doing everything wrong first. Had a lady, our response time was excellent in our facility. I mean, we were there within 3 to 5 minutes. We really were good. We had plenty of staff, everything's going really great. But Naomi is always on the floor. And every time we get in there, she'd say to us, this is broken. She's holding the call light. She actually remembered how to use it. And she'd say, it's broken. And intelligent me, and how many of you have been with me, would say, oh, no, it's not. It rang out at the nurse's station, and we were just hurrying as fast as we could. Okay, but it's working. She went, it's not working. I couldn't hear a thing. I'm going, well, that's okay, because we can hear it, right? I'm having this discussion with a demented person. She's smarter than me. Okay? She's going, I can't. It's broken. So consequently, what we needed to do was to give her some intervention where she felt that she was in control of what was going on. Okay? So how many of you use bells as call devices? They work like a charm. You know that it doesn't say anywhere in the law that they have to have a call light. You know that, don't you? Of course you do, because you've read the rules yourself. What does it say in the rules? They must have, who said it? A means to summon help. Okay? This works. So it says, hey! Work. Alrighty? But you gotta get it in the care plan. You gotta show that you actually figured that out on your own. But I gotta tell you the story about my friend, Naomi. So we gave her the call light, and I said to the staff, for the first week, I want you to respond immediately. I want her to know that when she hears this noise, someone will come. All I wanted to do was to buy myself about 3 more minutes. That's about all the time I needed, and I would be okay. Alrighty? So I took this in and I said, you know, when she rings it, go. Now my nursing colleagues said, don't give her the bell! She'll ring it! Yep, I said, that's kind of how the whole idea was set to go. So after 3 days, I went in and the nurses were not happy. They were not, and these were great people, truly great people. They were not happy. They gave me a little piece of paper off their med cart. It was this big, okay? They went, here! So I take the thing and it says, an hour in the life of a bell. 11 o'clock, rang the bell, said she had to go to the bathroom, went to the bathroom. Now I had taken Naomi to the bathroom. This was work. Okay, she was heavy. She was hard to move. She was talkative, so as soon as she got in the bathroom, she started talking. Okay. 11:10, rang the bell, said she had to go to the bathroom, didn't have to go to the bathroom. 11:15, rang the bell, said she didn't know what she wanted. 11:20, rang the bell, said she had to go to the bathroom, didn't have to go to the bathroom. 11:25, rang the bell 13 times. In the first hour, Naomi rang the bell. What do you now know about her? Who said she's lonesome? She's lonesome. We would never, she's demented, we would never use the word manipulative. Manipulation means I understand what should happen so I can go around the back door. Demented people truly are not manipulative. Alrighty? Yeah, she was lonesome. And we had taught her that if you did this, she'd get some company. What if she would have said when we went in, can you go get two of your friends? I'd like to play a hand of pinochle. I love pinochle. It's one of my favorite. What would we have told her? Haven't got time! But if she fell, she got seven people for 20 minutes. How many of your residents do you think fall on purpose? I would. I mean, I can't get somebody to come talk to me, but I can get them there if I fall. I believe it. I truly do. Alrighty? Now, let's go with this bell, though. Alrighty? The other thing. What is the other thing I suddenly realized that we have taught Naomi is the only acceptable topic of conversation? Poop and pee. And I have some breakthrough information for you. I think I'm pretty accurate on this. I might have to do some testing, but I think I'm okay. Every human being that is still alive poops and pees. It's breakthrough. I know it's breakthrough, but I'm telling you this. Why is it that the only ones that's our focus on are the elderly? I mean, how many times you hear nursing aides, somebody go, I couldn't be a nurse's aide. I like cleaning people's poop up. What? Excuse me. What is that about? Where's that come from? And I believe it's come from us. Here's our problem. Okay, and this feeds into some more of the interventions. Is that what happens if you have friends that work in daycare? Do you remember the last time you got together with your friends from daycare and they were talking and they said, oh my gosh, you just wouldn't have believed yesterday. Yesterday, Jackson's mother dropped him off at about 7 o'clock in the morning and first he peed, then he pooped and then he pooped and then he peed and then he pooped and he peed and he peed and he peed. I was so glad when his mother came and got him because it was just so much work. Well now his sister on the other hand, mother dropped her off too, and she peed and she peed and she peed and she peed and she peed. Then it was lunchtime and she still hadn't pooped and I was really nervous. And then she peed and she peed and she peed. And finally, just 10 minutes before her mother came, she pooped. And I'm here to tell you, it was this a bit. Is that what they talk about? No. What they say is, this was hysterical yesterday. Jackson, their mother brought him, and Jackson was crawling up the slide and he's got those shoes on that light up, you know? And Hadley grabbed one of them and he went, you wench, leave me alone. It was so, right? We can talk about something else than bodily function for people who have less than 5 years worth of life under their belt. Why can't we talk about something other than bodily functions for folks that have over 100 years of life under their belt? And you want to talk about the most simplistic, the easiest intervention, falls intervention in the entire earth, it kind of goes like this. Where's my friend? What's the lady's name there that's looking at the paper that I know? Right behind you, sir, that lady right there. What's your name? What's your name? Leslie? That's Leslie. Okay. I'm going to tell you, this is what happens. And I want you to feel, I talk about feeling your building, feel this one. I see Leslie starting to get up. Okay? And I don't want her to fall. Leslie, sweetheart, no, honey, sweetie. Oh, my God, honey, no. I did that to you earlier. No. Now, how does she feel right now? She's embarrassed, as you were. Where's my friend Heather? Okay? I'm embarrassed. Everyone's looking at me, and what was the word she heard? Both of you heard over and over. No. No. Do you remember a time in your life when all you heard was the word no? How old were you at the time? And then again, 17. Now, before we go on, I want to tell you, what's your name?
Colin.
Colin. Yes. Now, Colin would tell you a little about it. He doesn't know that I know him, but I know him. Now, this is a story about Colin. When he was 17, this was probably the most compliant individual you have ever seen in your life. Do you remember this part?
No.
Yeah. And remember when your parents would say to you, now Colin, be home at 9:30? Remember that? And you'd show up at 9:20. Remember, you're always early. That's just how he is. Okay? Yeah. Because he didn't mind being told no. But most of the rest of us would probably go, I'm here at 9:35. I don't care. How many of you sat in the driveway to get past the time your folks told you to get in just so you didn't have to, you know, didn't totally give your independence up? Yeah, that's him. So he's the only one we're going to have no problems with. The rest of us are going to be a mess. Alrighty. Stop hollering at your residents. Please. Now, I don't mean raising your voice. I could have said what I said very nice and lowly, but the message would have still been the same. What you are doing is wrong. Don't move. It is wrong. It's not wrong. It never was wrong the rest of her life. How come it all of a sudden got wrong right now? Okay? Listen to your building. Listen to the people that are being hollered at. Well, the truth of the matter is we didn't want her to fall and we felt bad about that. Okay? If we know Leslie as a person, I'm the maintenance man who only works every other weekend, but I am considered part of the treatment team, and you've told me there's some three things I can ask Leslie that she'll get so excited. So let's try, how can we do this? Here's the maintenance man, works every other weekend. He sees her starting to get up, and he goes, Leslie, before you go, I was wondering if you had time to share with me, what was that song you used to strip to? Okay. What's the difference? What's the difference? There are several magic tools in there. You want to empower your staff? They're so easy. What was number one magic tool? I called her by name. Okay? And what happened? I didn't scream at her. I went, hey, Leslie. Right? I didn't go, no, honey, Leslie, please. I didn't do that. Because what happens when you're think about it. You're walking down the hall and somebody calls your name. What do? You stop what you're doing to check what they, yes. And that's the first thing you want a follower to do, right? Stop. What's the second magic thing I did with her? Before you leave, what does that phrase mean? She can go if she wants to. What I'm working off of is the fact that with most demented folks, they can't hold a thought for longer than 5 minutes maximum. And if they're happy, it's usually about a half a minute, okay? And I want them happy. But what I said was, you can go, but I was wondering, in third magic phrase, and these truly are magic phrases, do you have time? What's that doing? Acknowledging that you're in control, that you have other things to do, that you're very busy. But I was wondering if you had time to share with me. How many people will go, no, I ain't telling you a thing? People love to share if they think you're really interested, right? Very simple. Call them by name. Hey, Leslie, before you leave, I was wondering if you had time to share with me. And then the end of the sentence is your assessment piece. What do I know she loves to listen to or talk about, depending on where she is? How many of you have three phrases? I don't care if they're on a 3x5 card. I don't care where you got the darn thing. Alrighty? Three phrases for every resident. I don't even have to know what the rest of the sentence is. Ask them about the time they locked the dog in the car. Ask them about are you with me? They love long-term memory. Use it. Okay, use it. And nine times out of 8.5, she'll start. And she'll go, you are my sunshine Tuesday afternoon, right? And what has happened? She's forgot she was getting up. So I can go, how about we go to the bathroom? Why don't you and I go to the bathroom, and then let's get some coffee. No, let's get some hot chocolate, because I know that's what she likes. Every one of those is a falls intervention you can take to the Supreme Court. And you can support while you're doing it. And let's look at what I started talking about. If I'm a visitor watching that, how does it feel, good or bad to me? Yeah, wow. And you know what? I didn't hear what she said, but when that lady leaned over and talked to her, she laughed right out loud. Wow, it must have been something that meant something to her. Okay? It's real easy, guys. Stop medicalizing it. Stop medicalizing it and bring that human being back in, and you're going to have a ball with it. You truly will. The end of my story with Naomi, okay? Less than a week, we did this, and she started ringing it less and less. But she would wait, and we were very good. We responded very quickly. At the end of a week, we had looked the whole situation over, and we said, the problem is she had been a socialite, and she wanted to be. She always done this. She's not going to change. So we needed to put her in a situation where she could do this, continue to run the show. So we've got a beautiful, comfortable chair and a lovely little end table and a pretty little lamp and a little flower thing. And we put it around the nurse's station. I used to think we had to get people away from the nurse's station. I think it's absolutely wrong. I think we should blow down the nurse's station and make a big seating area where we're sitting in all the different kinds of chairs we love. Okay, and the nurse has got a little desk over here. She can write something if she'd like to. Doesn't have to write much if she knows how to document, right? Anyway, so we gave... I forgot to tell you. $2.99 at hobby stores. If it doesn't work, give it to one of the staff for a present, okay? $75 for an alarm that we know doesn't work, okay? Then, I can't get out of this, so no matter what I'm looking through, what catalog, I love junk catalogs. No matter what junk catalog I'm going through, I'm thinking in terms of falls. I saw this thing. This was expensive. $13.99 this cost me. So we said, Naomi, we're going to put this bell here, and if you need anything, maybe you could not holler, hey lady, okay? Maybe you could like ring this bell. It was hysterical. She got the bell, she put it down, she sits down in her chair. 20 minutes. Do I care? Yeah, I love it. Give her something to do for 20 minutes, right? And she worked and she worked. Did she ever ring it? No. But she could if she wanted to. What had we done? We returned control to her. If you want to stop falls, you must identify what is the behavior that has or might prompt a fall. And for her, her driving behavior was a need to be independent, a need to be in control. She was pretty impetuous. Okay, because she'd never waited in her life. Why should she start waiting now that she's demented? Okay? Do you see where I go with this? Nobody ever gets hurt from a fall until they stand up. Right? So if I can figure out how to keep them happy and seated without restraints, and this bell worked like a charm. She tried a couple times and we went, yep, it's working. She went, good. It was like a miracle. And when I write behavior that has or might prompt a fall, and I wrote driving need to be in control, did my giving her a bell to alert us fit beautifully? Looked like I knew what I was doing, man. Yeah. Did a restraint fit beautifully with that? No. Does reminder to use call light fit well with that? If I can do nothing more than teach you, what is the behavior that has or might prompt a fall? Okay. It will open up the whole world for you. Okay, let's go back to our faller, our bed faller, okay? So that was our little lady with the thingy, with the who's it, with the what's it. Okay, now let's go over here. Let's talk about some other, no, we can go the other way. Let's talk about some other interventions. We got a lower bed, we got a mat on the floor that I think is stupid. We'll talk about how it might be smart, but not right now. What else do we use? Defined parameter mattresses? How about bolsters? Okay, those work good. What is the simplest intervention that every single one of you uses yourself that we haven't mentioned? Don't get close to the edge. But why can you do that? Now, don't make it tough. This is a roller outer. This isn't a getter upper. A bigger bed. Who died and said that because you're 82 years old, you have to be in a bed that is narrower than God intended beds to be? Because they're hospital beds. That's why. Why don't they have their own bed in your facility in assisted living? They can. Oh, because you have bugs and fire retardant. Call the fire marshal. Get over here. Mabel needs her own queen-size bed in here. Oh, it won't fit? Oh, I didn't realize that it wouldn't fit because, you see, here's what I saw. What I saw is in your bedroom for Mabel, okay, this is half the room, alrighty, for more than 16 hours a day, you took up this much floor space. Don't you tell me you don't have enough space for a queen-size bed. Are you with me? You were able to justify taking up that much floor space. Don't speak with forked tongue. Make sense, okay, when you talk. Alrighty, make sense when you talk. Okay, let's go this way. We got a bigger bed. Let's double check. How many of you are sleeping on a 30 to 36-inch wide mattress? Do you know what a twin is? It's about 38 to begin with. Why in healthcare? Now here's the deal. I understand why you need a very, very narrow bed when I'm in the hospital. Okay? I'm sick and those good-looking docs can get really close to me. I understand that. Okay? I saw that on ER. I did not see the 2 seconds. Well, that's another thing. Okay. Yeah. Alrighty. But I'm not in a hospital. I'm in a nursing home. I'm here because I'm going to stay here for the rest of my life. Why do I have to be in this stupid little bed? Most of the day I'm not even in it. How many of you sleep in kings? What's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to you? You're going to roll out. That's what's going to happen to you. Now, okay, so go with a wider bed. How many of you do an assessment that tells you whether this person is a roller-outer or a getter-upper? How do you know how to get the right intervention? We're are the leaders here, okay? How many of you are aware of the Allen battery? My therapist friends probably are. The Allen battery? Claudia Allen, A-L-L-E-N. On the internet you go Allen battery and it comes up. It is one of two tests that I think are so cool because they help you identify functional age, and we'll talk about that a little later on this afternoon. But right now I want to talk with you about the Allen battery and its ability to identify, they say I'm wrong when I say this, but it's to my way of thinking it's like proprioception. Where are you in relationship to your environment? Okay? That's what you gotta know. If you're not doing the Allen battery, then on every admission, you put an aide in there and say, go ahead, roll. And then the aide watches. Yep, they don't know where the edge of the bed is. They're on the floor now. Okay? Yeah. You gotta know, because if it's 5% of your population, do you have more than 5% of your people in low beds, in beds with bolsters? You're gambling with those getter-uppers. Because if I'm a getter-upper and you got the bed down, I have to be able to get up off the floor. If you've got a mat and I'm a getter-upper, I have to be able to walk on it. If you got me in bed with bolsters and I'm a getter-upper, what do I have to do in order to get up? I got to get up over this thing. Wow, that doesn't make any sense. That's where we get in trouble all the time. We don't know if they're a getter-upper or a roller-outer. Let's do one other thing while I'm here. It's an amazing thing that I keep getting asked to speak with the groups that are really hooked to CMS, because I think one of the dumbest things in the United States is what the rule that CMS says that what a fall is. Okay? And as professionals, I would tell you, I would lie. I would lie. Okay? I refuse to accept the fact that when someone rolls from this level to this level, it is a fall. But I need your help, guys. I can't do it by myself. How many of you have complained to CMS that this is a stupid rule? Right now there's an open comment section time going on. All right. Are you saying this isn't a fall? This is a rolled down 2 inches. And I'll call it a rolled down 2 inches. But I will not call it a fall. All righty. So, but they told us to. We went, okay. What? Okay. The federal government. Who cares? Now, here's the other thing. How about this? I'm walking down the hall and I got the resident like this and we're doing pretty good and they lose their balance. I got them with a gait belt here and I learned and I just lowered them right down my leg. I did a beautiful job, man. What do we call that? That's stupid! That is stupid! Okay? And that one I would actually have to lie about or something. But here's the deal. I called my friend, the attorney, and I said, hey, I'm going to tell everybody to lie about this. What do you think? Well, I said, all I can tell you is this. He said, it kind of looks like this. I'm driving my car down the road, okay? And I lose control of my car, and it heads toward the bridge abutment. And at the last minute, I pull it right out, okay? And I don't die, but I try to collect on my life insurance anyway. We need to band together and say, if you want me to say, lower to the floor by the use of a gait belt, it's not that I won't report it to you, but we report it as false so that our QIs can be nice and high. I mean, I don't get it, but I got to ask you something else. I can't fix the slid down to the floor without lying, but I can fix the other one. If I got myself a bed here, this is the bed, okay? This is the mattress. What would be an intervention? What would be something I could do where I wouldn't need to lie? No, that's too hard. She said care plan that the resident rolls. That's too hard. Raise the mattress. Pile 3 of them up here. I don't care. Okay? So that when I roll over, I stay at the same level. How intelligent do we look? We leave 2 different levels, have someone roll down it, and then beat our chest that we have to call it a fall. Put the level the same. I'm serious, guys. There is no logic to this. They're being illogical, and we're going, we're just as stupid as you are, okay? Alrighty? No! This makes no sense. If you're going to take up, by the way, the bed's 36 inches wide, and the mats are, let's say, 30, that's 66 inches. 66 inches. How big is a queen size? 60. You're taking up more space than if you gave them a queen size mattress. Okay? Look at your, you know, talk to maintenance. Go, hey, what about this? Does it fit? How are we going to do this? Alrighty? Stop. Stop setting yourself up so you have to say you had a fall in this case. Alrighty? And begin to argue about the other one. Have your organizations here in New York, have they taken that on? Are they trying to talk to CMS? Are they saying, tell me again what, if you want to capture slid to the floor, I'll give it to you in a heartbeat. We all know the problem slid to the floor is not on the MDS. Okay, and that they want to have something that's standardized, and they stuck it under falls, and we went, okay, all right. Roller outers, less than 5% of your people. So if you have more than 5% of your people with mats, with defined parameters, you're gambling with the rest of them. So let's go to the rest of them. A getter outer. Why do people get up in the middle of the night? We've already talked about that one, haven't we? So there's an intervention you can put in place pretty easily. Doesn't call for a side rail. Doesn't call for a mat. If you put somebody who has to go to the bathroom on a low bed, will that mean they don't have to go to the bathroom anymore? That's how we're playing it. Because when they get up, we go, well, I had them in a low bed. Yeah, it was wrong intervention. Why is another reason people get up? I'm hungry. So a low bed means you don't get hungry anymore. Do you see what I'm saying? And these are the kinds of things you need to do in your own facility. Go, come on, let's really look at this. The doors are closed. Let's look at it the way that weird lady looked at it and see once. Okay? I can't think of any reason that I'd want to get up that a low bed would help me. How about this? I heard a noise at our house. This is how it goes. There's a noise in the middle of the night. I say to my husband, check it out. And then I crawl underneath the covers. Okay? I'm a coward. If he came to your facility and he heard a noise, you do have noises at your facility at night, don't you? He's going to get up. How are you going to know that that's one of his behaviors? I got some ways we'll talk about how you can know that. But once you know it, you've got to use it. Tell me some reason that the resident would want to get up that you would think needs to be censured. There isn't any. There isn't any. Okay. They're getting up. Let's try this one on for size. They're getting up to help their roommate who is very, very demented and moans. And so resident A tries to get up and help resident B. Tell me one external intervention that will stop that need to help. Got one? No kidding, relieve the pain of the moaner, okay? But there's nothing I can do with the lady who wants to help. True or false? So stop all your silly interventions until you can address her need to help. We either fix the pain of the other one, we get this one out of the room, okay? If she's awake, she doesn't need to be in her bed. How many times are your falls the result of nothing more than they're done sleeping? You know their sleep patterns, or you should. You've accepted the responsibility. How many of you are getting old like me? I used to love to sleep, and this morning I'm up at 5:30 going, well, now what am I going to do? Okay. And I could sleep until 8 o'clock because these guys said I didn't have to be down here until 8:45. And I was awake. So I played games on my computer. Would you need to know that about me?
Yeah.
You put them to bed at 8 o'clock at night. What time am I going to be up if they sleep 4 to 6 hours max? 3 in the morning, noon, or midnight maybe? And then it's a crapshoot all the rest of the night. It's a crapshoot. What an awful way to run a business, guys. Bring somebody in and then try to stop them from doing what it is they want to do under the name of what? Care! Oh, I don't think so. We're going to fix this, though. Because the more we hook into who the person is, the easier our job gets, the more rewarding our job gets, and the happier the families get, and the surveyors, and the community, and it just keeps rolling. Okay? Getter-uppers. You got to know. The easiest way to do that is to say to the staff that works nights or whenever the person's moving, take a piece of paper. Everybody grab a little piece of paper like this. Not you guys. This is what I say to the staff. And on here, write why you think Mabel's getting up. All five of you, six of you, you write it. Don't look at each other's and throw them in the middle of the table. Housekeeping, maintenance, dietary. And now let's take them and look. Is there any ongoing theme? And I don't want managers doing it unless the managers really know the residents. Okay, I want people who really know them. And the housekeeper will go, well, I'll tell you why. Because she used to raise rabbits and she had to get, and they'll give you all the information. Okay? Use it. We're not the be-all, end-all. I think this is part of our retention problem. We treat our aides like they have no brain. They're so smart. How many of you have aides that go to care conference? All your aides go to care conference. We're getting better. All those hands need to go up. Why wouldn't you take the person who gives the care to the care conference? I don't get that. How many of you have housekeepers that go to care conference? You want to talk about social aspects of care? Who knows it cold? Social aspects of care. How many of you have ever done this? You go to your care plan team. This is another way to break through. Go to your care plan and sit there with a stopwatch. And for every minute they talk about a medical issue, put a mark down. For every minute they talk about a social issue for the resident, put a mark down. And your split needs to be at least 50-50. I would suggest your split should be 20 medical and 80 social. How many of you are taking care of wild, weird, unusual kinds of medical things? We got CHF, we got COPD, we got Parkinson's, right? These are repetitive. I don't need to talk about them. I don't need to talk about the lab work. That's irrelevant to the care. Okay? It's irrelevant. I need to talk about who this person is and how the heck to work with them. And I'll tell you, 2 weeks ago, this is how sad I get and why I get more and more fired up every time I try to do this. 2 weeks ago, I was working with a group, 25 nurses. When I work inside of a facility, I always ask that I get an opportunity to work only with the nurses. And I do what I call a yeah-but session. Yeah, this is a good idea, but it won't work here because. Because until we find out what the but is, they're right, it won't work there. And I'm doing this very thing. How about you got to know who the people are, blah, 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 blah. Finally, one nurse at the other end went, lady, you're not getting it. I went, oh, okay, give me a shot. What am I missing? She went, I am here. She was probably late 30s, early 40s nurse. I am here to do the medical things for the resident. I am not here to talk to him, okay? And her friend went, tell her, go ahead, you tell her, go, tell her. The administrator was sitting in the room. Who's the problem in that facility? Because there's been no expectation that these people are humans, social humans. That girl saw her job as taking care of bodies, okay? And as long as they allow her to be employed there, we're not going to fix it. We're not going to fix it. This is a facility. They have 1-10 staffing ratio in the daytime, and we were looking at what do you have to do when you have a restraint in place, and we'll pick that up when we come back from lunch, and how much time it takes to take care of a restraint, and do you have enough staff time? And this is in a state that sits at 8-9% restraint. It's pretty small. And they said 1-10, and I expected them. I said, how many people have restrained? I expected them to say 1, you know, and I was still going to show them how it worked. And they said 7 or 8. I went, what? Well, yeah, you just got it, you know. And it was so interesting. It's all about attitude. But that's all right. I'll try talking faster and see if we can't knock some time off this session. Okay? What? The structure. Do you see? Now listen, guys. Nothing is ever useless. It can always teach us something. If I am looking at the problem that we had with lunch, or not the problem, but the challenge, alrighty. We had made an agreement we were going to come back in. Problem number one, we hadn't shared that with anybody that had anything to do with the food. Right? Important that we do that. We didn't. Okay. Second thing is any kind of a dilemma you bump into when you talk about staff, it's a lack of one of three things, and Diane Waugh says it's one of three things only. Okay? It is a lack of knowledge. So was our problem today the lack of knowledge that we didn't know we were supposed to get done by 12:15 or 1? No, wasn't a lack of knowledge. And I would suggest to you, most times when there's a problem in a facility, we assume it's a lack of knowledge and we kick in some sort of an in-service. Right? Nobody values in-services. Nobody values in-services. We don't actually pay attention. We call them mandatory, no one goes and nothing happens. We speak with forked tongue, guys. You're saying to your staff, when I say something's mandatory, you don't need to do it. And nothing will happen to you. Because I do a lot of different things, and one of the things I do is staff development. I gotta tell you this, because it's such a cool idea. I stole it from someone. I am a thief. I steal everything. Okay? This person said to me, we never have mandatory in-services. Oh, I said, now that's interesting. How do you work that? He said, we simply, if it's something we want all staff to attend, we call the scheduled meeting. And we say to someone, there'll be a meeting next week, which session would you like to be scheduled for? And when you don't show up, exactly what happens to you when you don't show up for work happens. Don't say it's mandatory and then make, there's no teeth in it. If you want them to be there, fine. He said, we have some that are optional in services, you know, financial planning for the single mom. How many of you have that going on in your facility? Good. Okay? Yeah. We say we care about people. The one bunch of people we don't care darn about is our employees. Well, anyhow, now. So, lack of knowledge. Is it a lack of knowledge? 9 times out of 9.5, it's not a knowledge issue. They knew to wash their hands. They could teach the class on hand washing. There's another reason they're not doing it. Okay. Another reason might be lack of will. I'm not doing it because I'm not going to do it, and you can't make me do it. Blah. How many of your employees do you really... I mean, we fall down on that one a lot. Well, she was being non-compliant. Hello. Okay? I don't think it's lack of will. If it is, just fire them. That's quite easy. Even the nurse who goes, I ain't going to do what you asked me to do because I don't believe in talking to people. I'm not sure that that was a lack of will problem. I think it was a lack of system, which is the third and probably the biggest. What you guys experienced at lunch was a lack of system. Not that you didn't want to come back, because I knew you all were just dying to come back, and not that you needed more education on what quarter of looked like on a clock. Keep that in mind as you look at making the change with your facility. Where is your stumbling block? Is your stumbling block a lack of knowledge? We've known that restraints are killed for how many, 14 years? It's not a lack of knowledge. Is it that we like killing folks? No. Okay, it is not a lack of will. Our problem is lack of system. And one of our systems, I was talking with the lady from the Department of Health, and she said, any way you can teach these people to stand up for what they believe in, I like. That's what she said. Did you say that? She said that. Okay? Get her name, write it down. I hear that to a person from the surveyors. So my sense is it's a lack of system. We're running scared. There are some stupid surveyors, and I'll say that out loud. Okay, but they're allowed to be stupid. And so nothing ever happens. Okay. Knowledge, will, or system. Look at it. What's causing you the problem? I wanted to show you a picture. And this picture has been very, very important to me. Let's see if I can do this. This is a very, very touching thing to me. Can you see this at all? Oh, for heaven's sakes. See, a lack of system. We got a system problem. Move the easel. Okay? Now can you see it? Now, I'm a pretty nice person. You guys have already figured that out. I'd like to leave you with a memento of the time we spent together here. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to ask you, if you just tell me, I'd give each of you a copy of this picture. I ask only one thing. I'm going to make it 4 foot by 6 foot. And I ask that if you take it, you hang it in your living room at home. How many would like a copy of my picture? Why not? And I want you to talk to me from your heart. Why don't you want a copy of my picture? Well, because it looks sick. But see, you guys just don't understand. Sometimes we have to do what we have to do, right? Another reason. Why don't you like my picture? Yeah, of course it's sad, but we've got to do it. What choice do we have? Shows I'm a failure, and that one gets me. I feel like a failure when I look at this. I go, whoa, Diana, get it together. Okay, another reason I don't want this picture. Does it make anybody mad? Yeah, you're probably the only ones in the world, because you've noticed most people, when you tie them up, they don't mind, do they? No, they say, thank you very much. I do appreciate your concern for my well-being, and go ahead and put that self-release spell on me that I can't, and it won't bother me in the least. Yeah. Now, excuse me, I want to jump to your head. Why did you, I heard the reaction when I put the picture up. Why did you react like that? Because it is a child. We quit doing this to kids how many years ago? Okay. And I had the same reaction you had, guys. This was 1991. This picture was in Time magazine. I began working on this in 1990. And I have to always read. I can't just go to sleep, okay? So I opened the thing. I went, oh! And I said, you hypocrite. You hypocrite. You work in an industry that does this every day to seniors. What's with the behavior? And then I got to tell you the rest of the story, because this is almost too unbelievable. And this is a true story. We say we've had three reasons for using restraints historically, right? Number one, we got to use them to keep the residents safe. If we don't use them and they get hurt, we're liable to be. And we haven't got enough staff. We've used them for years as our justification. Okay? So I'm showing this picture. Heavens, it was only a couple weeks after I got the darn picture. And there were two girls in the front row, and as soon as I showed it, they start talking, blah, blah, blah. Talk to each other the whole time. When I got done, the one came up in a very heavy European accent. She said to me, may I see your picture more closely? I said, yes, but can I ask why? She said, I'm from Romania. And she said, I wanted to see if it was from one of the orphanages in my hometown. Well, I am ready to talk to her. Anybody who would support this kind of treatment of children, and I'm pulling myself up because I'm going to just lay into her. And before I can open my mouth, she said, I can't believe what you do with the elderly here. Can't believe your country. I said, excuse me? Well, she said, we value the elderly in our country. We take care of them. We have very, very few facilities or for homeless elderly. And she said, we would never think of tying them up. And I went, I don't want to talk about that. I'd like to talk about this. Oh, she said, well, that's very easy to understand. I went, yeah, try me. I don't get it. She said, she was about 21, and she said, in our country, sex is very recreational, but she said, we have very little birth control available. And she said, they said to me in high school, if you get pregnant, just put the baby, we'll put the baby in one of the orphanages. I mean, they're on every street corner. Well, I said, I don't like that. And I said, and how come he's tied up like this? And may, with, as God is my witness, what did she tell me? He's got to be tied up in order to keep him. If he gets loose or runs away, the facility is liable to be, or closed in their case. And we don't have enough, so it's okay, huh? It's okay to tie this little guy up because those are the reasons we use over here. Now, she said, I don't like any better than you. She said, I went to work at one of those places, and the staffing ratio was one adult to 25 kids, and the majority of the kids have AIDS, okay? Well, I've been using, this is my driver. This little guy has been what's kept me going for 14 years now, okay? Because I see our residents every time I look at this picture. Excuse me. So I was showing it about year and a half ago in Texas. And after I was all done, a lady came up to me and she said, do you know that little guy's name? I said, no, I don't. Do you? And she said, yes, his name is Juan. He was adopted by our friends and he now lives in California. Okay. And all of a sudden this picture took on a whole new meaning, okay, because he's now become real to me. And you might know how dumb I was. Did I say, may I have his name? Of course I didn't ask that. I got to work on that. I'm going to work on that this year. I'm going to Austin in just a little while. Okay? It's the driver. As I continue to look at restraints, they are devices that come with warnings. Okay, and I just want to bring those to our attention because we see them every day and we don't see them. It says, don't tie them on a toilet. That's pretty good. It says, don't light them on fire. And I think this is a very important one. I think we should definitely not light them on fire. Unfortunately, in the state of Arkansas, about a year and a half ago, we had little demented residents, and we neglected to tell the little demented residents not to set the other little demented residents' chest restraint on fire. And he was sitting by the nurse's station, and it's a little fuzzy as to how this occurred, okay? But the other guy had something, some lighting device, and lit the chest restraint on fire. The little man that was wearing it simply disappeared. He spontaneously combusted from the waist up. He was gone. Now listen to the rest of this story, and don't tell me it hasn't got a lot to do with attitude. It burned a space by the nurse's station where he was sitting. The facility took the little man's remains and put him outside because he smelled bad until the undertakers came to get him. The surveyors were in the building at the time it occurred. Okay? And the surveyors said, wasn't anything else you could do. And the surveyor's boss, who was actually the one that was talking to me, said to the surveyors, I want you to go back and relook. Because you see what had happened? Arkansas is one of the states that leads the country in restraint, or at that time led the country in restraint use. And even the surveyors felt, are you with me? That, gosh, he had to be tied up. Okay. No, we know better than that. We know it's not right. It says don't use them if they're torn. Yeah, right, okay. And don't tie them up in cars in them. All right, I'm doing pretty good so far. Then it says like this. If you're going to put them on, put them in a 45 degree angle. And that's how you put all of yours on. You don't have any of the new diaphragmatic restraints, do you? Well, you see, they start out as waist, but I don't have them tied right, so they just slide up until they're restricting the individual's breathing. It's really pretty nice, especially little ladies with no boobs. It gets right up here until it really restricts their breathing. Yeah, so we only put them on at 45 degrees. That's cool. And then, well, now, wait a minute. Then I found this one, and this got me confused. How many of you have staff that put the resident in the bed and then yank on them so their butt falls off the bed like that? How about this one? You put them in wheelchairs and you yank? Your staff does that, don't they? Because this is a poster for staff. So I said to the folks at the movie, I said to them, well, I don't understand this. I said, I don't have staff that do this. And I know of no staff in the United States who would do this to someone. This happens because the person's trying to get loose. They're trying to get free, and in their attempt to get free, they get themselves in an awful mess. And what did the man from, what did he say to me? Listen, he said, I'll tell you why we put that on there. Because if there's a lawsuit, and the person dies one of these ways, we want to be able to say, we told you. You know what else it says on restraints, guys? Never use on a confused resident. Sentence number one. So, see, I get real tired of us who go, well, the laws, the laws, the laws. We got laws and we're not living by them. You cannot put a restraint on someone who doesn't understand how to deal with it. You can't put. Here's what you have to do. You have to take that poster off the wall, and you take it over to the little confused resident, and you say, here, honey, look at these. Don't do any of these things, because you're going to kill yourself if you do, okay? When I get that restraint on you, I want you to lay real still. Okay. Gosh, we don't look smart. Alrighty? Now, let me give you another thought, and then, Pauline asked me to make sure I did this before any of you split and run. I can't find, here it is. I gave you one strategy. If you have any restraints in the building, they are only managed. If there are any restraints in the building, they can only be on a resident when you have full-time staff sitting with them. Here's another strategy. Since they are lethal weapons, they will only be managed by your professional staff, period. No aide's going to mess with them, unless you want the aides to give the narcs. You can make up your mind. Either way, you want to go with it. If you want to give the aides a responsibility for deciding and when to give them narcotics, then I would go with it. Put them right in the linen closet, real easy. Don't worry about the DEA and all that stuff. Okay? Give them the same respect we give the darned medications. Look at the amount of time we spend counting and uncounting and recounting and ex-counting. So, they are only handled by the licensed staff. Period. That's the only person that touches them, because that's how dangerous they are, if you believe they still have to be there. Now, I want you to do this. One of the things we say consistently is, well, we have to use restraints because we haven't got enough staff. I got 10 people to take care of. I got 5 of them tied up. I think I know where they are. I'll worry about the other 5. But let's do a little bit of math. And this is what is the national standard. This is not a rule. This is not a law, but it is what is expected. Now, this is a bunch of managers, and sometimes I get very nervous because if you don't do this right, I have to holler again. Okay? When someone is restrained, you must check, I want this to be one voice, you must check that restraint every... Ah! That is not it! Every half hour. And you know what, guys? When you don't answer that right, you know what it tells me about how they're being checked in your facilities? They're not! You want to get this law guy to come over to your place? Let's tell him, okay? Ma'am, the surveyor, we were just joking. We all check them all every 30 minutes. We do. See, she was going to ask me that. And I want to lie for us. Okay. Cue 30 minutes. Let me ask a question before we go any further. On the count of 3, how many loaded guns are in your facility? 1, 2, 3. That's right. Because you would probably check that out and you'd probably get them out. Same story with these. I got to check it every 30 minutes. That in itself is stupid, by the way, but it is the standard. How long can you hold your breath? If you get in trouble 10 minutes after someone just checked you, can you make it 20 minutes? Can you make it 15? Can you make it 10? There was just a thing on one of those real TV shows where they had 2 girls, and the one who, they put them in things of water, you know, see how long they could hold their breath, and the one that did best was like 4.5 minutes. Okay? So this is stupid. But it is what is the standard, is what's expected of us. So I put the thing on at 11 o'clock. I gotta do 11, 30, 12, and 12:30. Okay. I'm gonna contend it takes 5 minutes each time. Times 3 is 15 minutes. That's not a problem. Now let's go with the next part that I know you do have, right? And that is I must release it every, there we go. Now we got it. Every 2 hours. Okay? And provide at least, oh, now there's our next problem, isn't it? You got the 2 hours, guys, get the whole thing. It goes provide 10 minutes worth of exercise. So that's 10 minutes. That's not a problem, is it? Okay. And it's going to take me probably 5 minutes to get the thing taken off and hidden so they don't have to go, na, 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 you're restrained, but it's right over there, ha, ha, ha. You don't have to do that. It's going to be out of their visual field for 10 minutes. Oh, nuts. That takes me another 5 minutes. Well, this isn't a problem, I don't think, because it'll take 30 minutes out of every 2 hours for each restraint. We have plenty of staff to do this, don't we? Let's check. I was working with a facility that had a staffing ratio of 1 to 6. Is that a lot like yours? No, but let's pretend for 1 second. 1 to 6 staffing ratio. Okay? They had a 1 to 6. They sat at a 60% restraint rate. I couldn't chop one resident in half, so I had 4 residents that were restrained, times 30, okay, is 120 minutes. So this is going to work, okay, 120 minutes out of every 120 minutes. That aide did nothing but mess with the restraints Okay, they didn't take him to the bathroom, they didn't feed him, they didn't wash him, and they didn't do a darn thing for the other two residents. Well, you say, well, that's just stupid. First problem, Diane, is we don't have a 1-to-6 staffing ratio. And the second one is we don't sit at 60% restraints. Thank you very much. We run a 1-to-10 staffing ratio, right? Yeah, and we sit at about 10% restraints, which is about one person. So what you're telling me then is your nursing assistants spend 30 minutes or one quarter of every two-hour time period with one resident and then do all the rest of the work, all the non-restraint work for this guy and all the work for the other nine in the remaining time. Surveyors know how to do math. I don't know why we haven't seen more citations on this. Make sure you have enough staff. Ask your nursing leaders who are in charge of the nursing aides to make sure they have enough time to do this. If you haven't got enough time to do it, try fighting this in a court of law. We already know that 30 minutes doesn't make sense, but we're not even doing that. Three fail-safe strategies. I got another one to add, too. If you're going to use restraints, we've got a staff person on them one-on-one the whole time. The second one is only licensed staff deal with restraints. And the third one is make sure you got plenty of time for that licensed staff to do their work. Let's take that nurse. Okay? How are you going to work the nurse who's passing meds to throw a half hour on one resident while we're passing meds and work? Because it's got to happen every 2 hours, right? Fourth one, and the one that is probably the easiest to institute, starting Monday. Okay, starting March 1st. You put a rule in place that says we never, ever, ever accept a transfer restraint order. Period. Period. I do not accept a transfer restraint order. If they were restrained in the hospital for the 2 minutes they were there, that's fine. Now that they're over here, I need to do an assessment myself. Okay. Side rails. Pull them off the beds when somebody's discharged. And it must be justified to put them back on after the new person.